You can tell we're definitely in a Baptist church, amen, filling up from the back to the front, and I'll try to keep my voice good and loud, hit all y'all in the back there, but no, it's good to be in God's house. Open up to John chapter number 8 tonight, John chapter number 8, and we're looking forward, as I always say, looking forward to what God will have for us tonight, and I'd love to open up the Word and hear from God, amen, and I look forward to preaching tonight and seeing what God will have for us. But as we know, yesterday being the 4th of July, we celebrated and we stopped and thought about our freedom and what the freedoms that we have as being Americans. And we know that as Americans, we possess rights and liberties and we're a citizen of the country that we can enjoy. And we're not in some foreign country, third world country, and we're blessed because of that. Because we live in America, we can be in church tonight. Amen? There's a lot of countries and different places you go they're hiding out. They're in people's homes, and they're worried about persecution. And a lot of times we take that thing for granted. We really do. That we just have the liberty to drive here and go to church and do those things and serve God and go out and go door knocking and witness. Where in other countries they'd be afraid to get their head cut off or be thrown in a dark prison. Not an American prison either, but a real prison. And we sometimes take that for granted, but we live in America, and we don't have to worry about that. We can come to church, and we have in the country we live in as Americans, we have the right to free speech. We can serve and believe in God, or people believe in little g gods, of course, or some people believe in no God at all. We have those rights. Because we're Americans, we have the right to carry our Bible. We have a right to pray. We have a right to preach the gospel. And I thank God that we have the right and we have the privilege to be Americans, amen? And we think about that. But did you know this? It's possible to be an American and still not be free. You know, you think about that for a minute. You can enjoy all the rights and the freedoms that it means to be an American, but still be bound, still be a slave. You know, in the verses we're going to talk about tonight, many Americans are free socially, but they're bound spiritually. And that's a group of people I want to talk about tonight. And that's a group that we find here in John chapter number 8. The truth is, there's only one way to truly be free, and that's through Jesus Christ. Here Jesus is trying to hit that home to these Jews here. But they didn't understand. What do you mean to be free? You know, they didn't understand. People think because they're not locked up, say, in a prison somewhere, that they're free. Well, I have freedoms. I'm an American, and I'm free. But the truth is, just because you're not in prison, just because you're not locked up, just because you're an American does not mean that you have been set free. There's people in a jailhouse today. There's people locked up right now that are as born again as me and you. And let me tell you, they're free. They're set free. I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. And you know, it's funny, you think about people that, you see these big mega jackpots out there for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. I think one was approaching a billion at some point, I think. But it was getting way up there. And, you know, they interview people. What would you do if you won? You know, and most people will give, you know, I'm going to quit my job I'll have financial freedom. I'll have freedom to do whatever I want. You know, I'll have freedom. I won't have to worry about money. I won't have to worry about going to work. I won't have to worry about how am I going to pay my bills. I'll be free. But boy, have they missed the mark by so far. If only money could buy freedom. But the truth is, as we know, you can only be truly free when you've been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we think of this freedom, and tonight I want to preach about being free indeed. Having to no longer live under the chains of sin. Go ahead and stand with me in reverence and honor to the Word of God. John chapter number 8 tonight. Look with me in verse number 31. John chapter 8, verse number 31. So then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you that we can come before the throne of grace tonight in prayer and bring these few before you that were mentioned. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be with them. A lot of people are out traveling, Lord, tonight and not able to be here, as you can see in our crowd tonight. But Lord, pray for them. We pray that they would have a safe trip back and Lord, to lead and guide them back here and get back into service for you. And Lord, we think of many who are sick and not feeling well. Think of Miss Bonnie, as she would love to be here tonight, but obviously cannot. We pray for a quick recovery there. And Lord, we think of many others, and the list is very long. And Lord, you know their names. But Lord, we think of our pastor as he's traveling back. Give him traveling mercies back from Ohio. And Lord, we just pray for our church here. And Lord, that we pray that we can grow. And we pray that we'll continue to honor you and give reference to you as we always have. And Lord, we thank you for being so kind to us and so loving to us. And Lord, I pray that there might be one here tonight who's lost and undone. Lord, I don't know the hearts. I don't know. I know the names. I know the faces, Lord, but I don't know what their need might be. And Lord, I don't normally preach about salvation on a Wednesday night, but Lord, you had me to preach it tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you would use it and work in the lives of the people that are here tonight. Use it in a mighty way. And Lord, we'll give it all to you and give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We look back here at verse number 31, and we find out a very interesting statement. It said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now these Jews, even though that statement we read that the Jews believed on him, these Jews are lost. And we're going to elaborate a little bit more on that in a minute. But they're lost. And if you remember a little bit earlier in the chapter at the beginning, Jesus, he was teaching in the temple and he was doing healing and teaching and preaching in the temples. And we know that the Pharisees and the scribes and they brought the lady who had been caught in the act of adultery. And they brought him, of course, to Jesus, and he was teaching earlier in the chapter. And we know that they say, hey, we have to stone her. We have to, you know, she broke the law, and we got to do all these things. And, of course, we know that was a time when the Lord said, well, he without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. Of course, that pretty much put him in their place. But we know that that happened before here, and these same Jews are standing around. It was the same that brought the lady there. And at first look, and you first read it, if you stopped right there, you would think, here's some saved Jews. The Bible said that Jesus spoke to those which believed on him. And at first, it looks like we're talking about saved people, but we're not. See, these Jews were just pretending to be saved. These Jews were pretending. They were following religion. They were following still the Old Testament. They weren't following what the Bible had said. And you know, my kids really don't do this anymore, but they used to, we had the costumes. We might even still have them somewhere. But, you know, they had costumes. They had Spider-Man and Iron Man, and there was a lion costume, and they had all these different costumes or whatever. And they used to get in them and run around. It didn't last very long like all the other toys they got. You know, they'd get in it for a few minutes and they quit. You know, your best bet is to buy in the cardboard box. Forget all the stuff inside, amen. Just get the cardboard box, and they'll play with that for hours, and the toy for about 10 minutes. But anyway, I'm getting off track here. But anyway, they got they would get these costumes, and of course they would run around and play, and what would they be doing? They would be pretending to be something that they weren't. So, you know, the one would be dressed up as Spider-Man, and if you looked on the outside, and of course if you didn't know any better, but if you just looked purely on the outside, looking at the costume, you would think there was Spider-Man in your basement. That'd be kind of scary, right? I mean, we all know there's monsters and different things that hide in the basements. We all know that. You know, you run up the stairs real quick. But, you know, we would think that we had Spider-Man, protecting our basement. But the problem is we know our child's inside. We know it's just a costume. It's pretend. And here these Jews here, they're pretending. They're pretending to be something that they're not. They're on the outside, it all looks good. On the outside, they got everything looking the way it should look. But Jesus looked on the inside, and he knew something wasn't right. He wasn't going to trick him. See, we know that man looketh on the outward appearance, but we know that God, he looketh on the inward. And here we look at the Jews, and they're just pretending. They're putting on an act. And I can't help but think there's so many people in churches across America today that are just pretending. You know, a lot of people, they'll go to church, well, my wife kind of makes me go to church, you know, so I got to go. Well, my mom and my dad, they go to church, so that, you know, we have to go. Oh, I hate going to church. But, you know, my My mom really wanted me to go. It's Mother's Day, and we better go, and we better go to church. You know, there's a lot of folks around today that have that kind of mindset and have that that thought, and they're just pretending to be something that they're not. We think about those who are saved, and oftentimes, a lot of times, we get people in the churches today that start to pretend. And on the outside, it all looks good, and they are saved. But they're not really wanting to serve God. They're really not wanting to do what God has called them to do, but they're just pretending. They're dressed up. It all looks good on the outside. And here, it's no different. The Lord's looking at these men, the disciples, but it says, but they believed on him. We know that God looketh on the outward. They looked saved. They did the right things. They asked all the right questions. They said all the right things. But then we know that Jesus looks on the inside. And if you'd look from a purely outside perspective, looking at these Jews, it would have looked like they're saved. It would have looked like they were great religious church people, which of course we know they were religious. You understand what I mean by that. And then we get to verse number 31. After that, it says, then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Okay? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said, hey, if you continue, if you listen to what I'm telling you, you shall know the truth. We know that the truth is Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Everything, imagine that, everything he's ever spoken, everything he's ever done, everything, we know we have the Word of God, everything about our Lord is truth. Isn't that great? We live in a day and age where there's not a lot of truth out there. You can't go on Facebook, or you can't even turn on the local news medias, most of them, and they put stuff on there that is absolutely not true. You got politicians today, well, I shouldn't say today, always had politicians. They will get up there and they tell you whatever you want to hear, right? Because that way, every 2 years, every 4 years, they want your vote. And they get up there and they say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to, make this change and do this. And the whole time, they know they're lying. There's not an ounce of truth in there. Or they'll get up and there'll be a scandal and they'll get up and say, I absolutely did not, do that. I absolutely did not do this. And, and it's all a lie. So it's hard to imagine that we could have something that is truth in our minds as human beings. We deal with people that lie. We deal with things that we hear that are lies. It's hard to believe that. But let me tell you, there is one thing that is absolutely 100,000% truth, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here he goes on in verse number 31. He says, ye shall know the truth. We forget John chapter 1, or John 1, 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? We have the truth. And look what it says there in verse number 32. And the truth shall make you free. These Jews that believed in him, he's saying, hey, the truth will set you free. These Jews were in bondage, and they didn't even realize it. There's a lot of Americans today, as I said before, that think that they are free, but the fact is they're set in bondage. We think because we're Americans and we have all these things and we have all these big homes and all these big great things and big nice things and newer cars and all these great things, we as Americans think, well, we're freedom. We fly the flag and we're proud of our country, and those are all great things, and I'm excited about them, and I'm excited to be excited about being an American. But just because America has big buildings and big bank accounts and big all this other stuff, let me tell you, that means absolutely nothing. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and what? Lose his own soul. Here the Bible, he says the Jews and the truth shall make you free. You know, there's a song, a patriotic song that says, because I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. I think Lee Greenwood sings that song. I'm proud to be an American. And you know, the truth is, we are proud to be Americans. Amen? We're proud to be Americans. We're excited about that. We fly our flags. We're proud of our flags. And you know, we often, and because we're proud of that, because we take pride as Americans, when you turn on the news and you see someone burning an American flag, it's a shame, isn't it? When you see someone, you say, you know what, why don't they go over and live in Cuba, North Korea for a little while, and let's see if they want to burn a flag. Go over to North Korea and burn a flag in North Korea, see what happens. But they burn the flag, and, you know, inside of us we get upset, and our pride starts to swell up. I'm an American. That bothers me. But you know what? If you're saved here today, you're a believer, you're a Christian. And can I say, when we see people say use God's name in vain, when we see people that make fun of our God, laugh at our God, make jokes about our God, disrespect our God, that same pride that we feel as Americans, we should start to get upset, shouldn't we? Well, I'm going to say something. If someone was burning a flag, American flag outside, you know, we'd say, hey, stop it, knock it off. We need to stop doing that. We need to have that same fervency as Christians, don't we? That same kind of goal, that same pride. I'm a Christian, amen? But here these Jews, he said, hey, the truth shall set you free. And he says, it goes on in verse number 33. And here they're gonna answer him back. See, they look like they're saved. Well, they believed on the Lord, but it looks like they're saved. And we get to verse number 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? We get down to verse number 33, and we find the problem. The problem is they're counting on their lineage. They're saying, hey, we're the seed of Abraham. Hey, we've been promised to become a great nation. We've been promised to be a great name and to possess the land that God hath promised. And we're God's chosen people. We're Abraham. We're in the lineage of Abraham. What do you mean we have to be set free? See, the problem we know is that the Jews have not accepted Jesus Christ. They're trying to hold on to their lineage. They're trying to hold on to the Old Testament. And all those promises that God made are going to come true. But what happened, if you remember, Jesus came. They rejected him. They put him on a cross. And when he rose again, they still didn't believe. If you remember back when Stephen was out there preaching, what'd they do? They got so mad because they were sick of hearing about it that they stoned Stephen. And if you remember, that was the only time in the Bible we find out that the Lord is standing at the right hand of God. You remember that? He stood up and accepted Stephen up into heaven. But it was at that point that God, the very next thing you find Stephen, and the very next thing you find the Word of God as Apostle Paul, which is the missionary to the Gentiles, where we get our doctrine from for the church age, boom, is on the scene. At that point, God said, okay, fine. If you want to keep rejecting, if you want to keep saying no, keep rejecting me, fine. I'm going to put you on a shelf for a little while. And of course, now we know we're under the age of grace, and we know that the Jew will be converted back to Jesus Christ. And by the way, we're going to get out of here. Amen. I'm looking forward to that rapture. But when that rapture takes place, there's going to be a tribulation on earth. And yes, a lot of people will get saved in that tribulation. There's going to be people that, man, they were right. But let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of people that get saved. But the purpose of the tribulation is to convert the Jew back to Jesus Christ. That's the reason. It's not so Americans can get saved. Americans will get saved. A lot of people will get saved. The purpose is for the Jew who rejected Christ the first time is going to finally accept him this time. So here we find out that they're bound, and right now we know they're on a shelf, and we know that they're God's chosen people, and they're still holding on to that. And can I say, I don't care who your mom is. I don't care who your dad is. Your dad could be the preacher. Your mom could be the greatest Sunday school teacher ever. Your dad could have won 10,000 people to Christ. Your mom could have won a bunch of people to Christ and fed the homeless and done all these things. And you could have a great lineage of people before you that have done great things, that have served God and been in church. And you could have been in church your whole life. But you know how much that means and how much you're saved? 0%. Doesn't mean a thing for you. Here they're dealing with the same thing. Yeah, but we're from the lineage of Abraham. You don't understand. I got the right genes, if you will. The Lord said, no, you're bound. You haven't been set free yet. Here in verse number 33. See, these Jews thought they enjoyed spiritual freedom because of Abraham. And then Jesus answered back in verse number 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You know, when you think about a servant puts a lot of time into what they're working on. You know, if you're a waiter, if you're a server at a restaurant, you got to put some time in, don't you? You got to give some effort. We've all had bad servers, amen. We've all been to restaurants, and man, they don't come around to fill your drinks up. They don't, bring the food out. They're rude. They blah, 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 blah. But if you're a bad servant, what can you expect to get? Bad tips, right? So if a server, or a servant, if you will, wants to get good tips, they have to be a good servant. They have to be on top of the job. They got to be serving and making sure everything is right. And here we get to verse number 34. And it's talking about a servant. He says, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And the Bible says that no one can serve two masters, either hate the one or love the other. You can't serve God. You can't serve the devil. You can't serve them both at the same time. You're going to pick one. Which one are you going to serve? And here it's no different. I can't understand why anyone want to serve sin, if you will. It would be like the waitress or the waiter at the end of serving the table saying, here, let me give you a tip. You are such a great table. Doesn't work that way, does it? The servant doesn't work to give the tip. The servant works to get the tip. It would be like at the end of the week on Friday, writing your boss a check saying, hey, I really appreciate all the work I could do for you this week. Here, let me give you a check. I don't think too many people would volunteer to do that. But here, that's mind that, hey, if you're sinning and you're serving the devil, you're a servant of sin. And look what it says about that in verse number 35a. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. You know why it says that? Servant abideth not in the house forever. What does he mean? Well, see, a servant is not part of the family. A servant doesn't carry the last name of the family. If the master of the home died, the servant wouldn't be entitled to the goods and the home and all the things that the master had. He wouldn't be allowed to. Why? Because he's not part of the family. He's still a servant. And here the Bible says in verse number 35 that the servant abideth not in the house forever. Why? Because eventually you can be removed from that house. You can be removed from that family. You're not guaranteed to be there tomorrow. In other words, the master, he could kick you out. You could quit. But you have nothing what the family has to offer. No inheritance from the family. You know, if you're lost here today, you're not part of the family yet. So that sounds harsh. There's only one way to get to the family. There's only one way to quit being a servant of sin. There's only one way to get out of chains of bondage. How? To come to Lord Jesus Christ. Kneel in old-fashioned law. Kneel wherever you are and say, Lord, set me free. Remove that sin. Remove that from my life. I repent of my sin. I beg for forgiveness. And guess what? He'll take that dark old black sin. He'll take that red blood and wash it as white as snow. Isn't that something? Take that black blood, are you with me? Black sin, he covers it with red and it turns white. Now, I'm no Cranist, if you will, but I know if you put black down and put red over top, it's not turning white, amen. Only the Lord can do that. Praise the Lord for that. But here he says, all right, so here he goes on to say, a servant has no place, and a servant doesn't abide in the house forever. And can I say, if you're still serving sin, if you've never been joined to the family of God, what a great day today would be to join the family of God. What a great time for it to go from being on your way to hell to going, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Good stuff. You don't have to be a servant anymore, but you can join the family. And here he's trying to get that point across to the Jews. He said, if the servant abideth not in the house forever, but, look at verse number 35, but the son abideth forever. And if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You don't have to be a servant to sin. You don't have to figure out, am I saved or not? I don't know. I don't know about today. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. You can know for 100% sure that you can have freedom. No matter where you're at, whether you're in America or you get dropped off in Mexico, amen, you'll know, hey, I'm free no matter what. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. Here he's trying to drive this point home to these Jews that the Bible says the Jews which believed on him, we'll hit that in a minute. But on the outside, it looked like they were saved. He says, listen, you're not saved. You're not free. But right now you're bound. But if you believe in me, you will be set free. And they're having a hard time grasping that concept. They're having a hard time because on the outside everything looks so good. They're having a hard time figuring that out. Here they get down to verse number 31. It looks like they are. It says, but the Jews which believed on him. What does that mean? It says they believed on him. Now listen to me. A lot of people miss heaven by 18 inches. A lot of people miss it. So how can you miss heaven by 18 inches? A lot farther to get there than that. Because you can have it here and not have it here. Do your head like this. You go door knocking, you can knock on a lot of doors. Hello, sir, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Do you know for 100% sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? I absolutely know I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know that? Because I'm a good person. Well, I understand that, sir, but just being a good person doesn't mean you get to go to heaven. The Bible says that you have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, his death, his burial, and resurrection on the cross of Calvary, and how he rose again. Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I put up a cross every Easter. I put up a cross that lights up in my yard. But, sir, you're counting on your good works. You're counting on I got to be a good person to get to heaven. See, they know the story. They could tell it probably better than you can. They know it. But they're as lost as the guy in the bar down the street. Here are these Jews. They had a head knowledge, in verse number 31 we see. But the Lord didn't look at the outside. He didn't look at the head knowledge of, did they know the story? Did he know that? Did he know the facts? Could he repeat the story back? He knew on the inside they were lost and they were bound and they weren't set free. So how do you know they were lost? Look in verse number 44. This continuing, we won't read all the verses before, but we're continuing with the same people. And look what the Bible says about them in verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. But the Bible says in 31 that the Jews which believed on him, they did. They had it here. So many people today, I shouldn't say so many people, there's people today in churches across our country that are just playing church. They know how to dress. We know how to talk. We know what the right things to say. And we got it all down. But on the inside, they haven't been set free yet. Here are these Jews, if you looked on the pure outside, you'd have thought they were saved. Too many people today are playing church. Can I have a question for you? Will you accept Christ today? Will you accept him today? Yeah, but you don't. I remember a time when I said a prayer. I remember the time when I went over there and they said, pray after me, and I prayed the prayer. I know I prayed it. You know, my son Gabe, there was a time when he prayed the prayer too. There was a time when he asked the Lord, he went, it was in church down in Florida. He had gotten saved as we thought, and he went out, raised his hand, said, I'm lost. And he went out and they said, pray this prayer. He prayed the prayer. He got baptized. He did all them things that we were supposed to do on the outside. But it was about a year later, and we were here, I think it was in Michigan. At that time, we were back in Michigan. And he had come down, I was preaching, and he had came down. I guess he was bad, I think. I never gave him a spank for that, because he got saved after. Amen. But he was bad, amen. And he ended up getting sent down from upstairs and had to come down and hear me preach. And I was preaching about salvation, preaching about that. And we got home, and we were talking. My mom and dad were over, and we were all talking about things and talking about salvation, different things about people and that we've led the Lord or people that are on our hearts. And Gabe came out and said, Dad, I'm not saved. Can I? Or I think we said, can I talk to you in the bedroom? And me and Gina went in the bedroom. So, Dad, I'm not saved. And you know my first response? Yeah, you were. I remember when you prayed. I remember you, when you got saved. I remember that. And he said, yeah, but Dad, I felt like I was just praying a prayer someone told me to pray. I felt like I was just repeating what they told me to say. I said, so, well, son, if the Holy Ghost is knocking on your heart telling you you're not saved, don't let me step in the way. And we knelt down right there and Gabe prayed and asked the Lord to come into his heart. He said, Dad, I just prayed a prayer that someone told me to pray. And he could have told you when he got saved, because I'm always very careful when children get saved. Boy, I asked him all the questions. I mean, he knew them one after another. He could recite, he could tell you the answers to the questions better than I could. He knew all the answers. He had it here. But in his own words, he didn't have it here yet, a year after. You say, you're trying to get me to doubt my salvation. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You know why? Because I've sat under preaching since I got saved when I was 6 years old. And I'm not saying this for anything of myself, but I've never sat under a preacher that preached about a salvation message and ever had any conviction saying, I need to get saved. Because once you get saved, Holy Spirit's not going to come back by and say, hey, you need to get saved. It's already there. You can't lose it, amen? Here we find out these Jews, they're father of the devil. They had the knowledge here. You think that having the Son of God, you think that having Jesus right there, they had the perfect opportunity to get saved. But look what it says, and we'll be done. Look at verse number 58. Look how they handled it. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was I am. Amen, amen, amen. Before Abraham was I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Here they had the opportunity to get saved. They had God the Father in man form right before them. You know what they did? They said, I'm not taking this. And they picked up stones. And they would have killed them if they could have killed them then. And they picked up stones to kill them. And they go to throw them at him. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that he hid himself. And look at this phrase. I want you to get this and I'll be done. I want to hit this home. Look what it says at the very end of verse number 59. They could have gotten saved, but what did they do? What did Jesus do? The Bible says, and so passed by. They had their chance to get saved. As the piano player makes their way up, Micah. They had Jesus Christ right before them. And they had their opportunity. And instead of getting saved, what'd they do? They picked up stones and they said, you know what? Let's kill them. You know what Jesus said? Okay. All right. I'll let you go. The Bible says he passed by. He left. How many people sit in church houses today and the Holy Spirit goes, you're not saved. You're not saved. You're not saved. And they go, no. Today. Nope. People might laugh at me. They thought I've been saved for a long time. People might laugh. People might make jokes about it. And he goes, okay, fine. And he passes on by. You know, it's possible to tell God no so many times before he signs and says, okay. The Jews did it. They had the answer. They had the opportunity. And they rejected him. And right now, the nation of Israel is put on a shelf right now. We're under the age of grace. And he finds, okay, enough's enough. I'll get back to you later on. I'm going to deal with the Gentiles for a little while. You know, it's possible to finally tell God no too many times. And he passed by their way. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this message. And Lord, I feel, Lord, you let it on my heart to preach tonight. Normally, I don't preach a salvation message on a Wednesday night, but Lord, you gave it to me. And Lord, I pray there might be one here, but they've been a member of this church for a long time. But they've they're the deacon's kid, or they're the pastor's kid, or they're the, you know, we can't go walk up front, or they've been, you know, my parents have been going here for a long time, or they're the deacon, or they're the trustee, and you know, but the Lord is knocking on their heart. Lord, I pray that no matter who it is, Lord, if they don't know for 100% sure that they're not saved, I pray that they would walk down the aisle and say, I want to be saved. I want to be set free. Oh, how living in bondage. Oh, we keep telling God no and keep telling him no. And we allow God to pass by. And oh, God, help us not to say no so many times that you might pass by. Leave us alone. Lord, would you help us? There might be one here tonight who needs you. Been playing church. On the outside, it all looks good. But Lord, you know their heart. And right now, you might be knocking on their heart's door. Don't let their friends sit there and let them make them feel embarrassed. The people sitting next to them, their husbands or their wives. Lord, they'll walk down the aisle and say, I need to get saved. I need to be set free. He's knocking on my heart. Maybe when I just had the head knowledge, I've never truly placed it into a heart knowledge. Lord, help. Work your way in this invitation. Help you not to pass by this church tonight without working in the way you want to work in our people's in the people's lives tonight. Lord, we give it all to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand. We're going to sing, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. I pray you don't let them pass by this church.